Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this third day of October 2023. And tonight we have in the very capable hands of our producer none other than Young Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
Good evening, Style. And the legend, the Missouri legend, right now is with us here. And that is the parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
Guilty as charged, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we have
ready for another night to serve the Lord.
Well, we have about enough material for two or three programs tonight, so we really got to get after it. Do you remember the title of the message?
A Fool's Mouth is His Destruction.
All right, now I'm going to do something I think I've only done once or twice before in the whole 50 years on the radio. We're going to play the clip at the beginning of this radio program. Now, I want to say that all of the prosperity preachers, like Kenneth Copeland, like Joel Osteen, oh, you have a bunch of them out there, Crypto Dollar, Benny Hinn, Jesse Duplantis, Derek Prince, Joel Osteen, Paula White, Rick Warren, Joyce Myers, on and on. But all of these people want to be rich. They all want to be, they are rich. They're all rich, but they want, the love of money is the root of all evil. And these folks, their God is mammon. Now, you see these woke CEOs. By the way, the woke CEOs are saying, go woke, go broke. They're backing away now. They're backing away from the woke movement because it hit them in the pocketbook. And so I remember when Joel Osteen was on Larry King's show, and Larry King asked him, you mean to tell me you think that only people that, only Christians can go to heaven, the Muslims and Jews can't go? And he says, well, Larry, I guess if your God is a good God, well, boom, did that hit Osteen. That hit him hard in the offering. That hit him hard in the offering plate. And so what did he do? He went right back to Larry King and said, Larry, I need to get back on. This I didn't expect that question. And so he went back on and said, you know, Larry, I'm a young preacher, and sometimes I make mistakes. And no, he said, only through Jesus Christ can you get saved. Well, he had to backtrack that whole thing, okay, and go to heaven, but because of what it hit him in the offering plate. And so many of these corporate CEOs, by the way, these 501c3 mega prosperity churches are corporations, and people like Olstein and Creflo Dollar and T.D. Jakes, they're the CEOs of these corporations. But also, like Pepsi and Coke and these others, these fellows, you'll find out most all of them attend a church. And what kind of churches do you think they attend? Well, if you were making 200 or 300 times, if your salary was anywhere between 100 and 300 times that of your employees, would you attend a church where the pastor's salary is 200 to 300 times that of what the assembly, Joe?
Being an unregistered preacher, I've never taken a salary at all.
Okay, so here now, we need to always remember, Joe, that it is by God's grace and not by our merit that we have been blessed with so much. Now, I know some people that use the mega churches to, I know some people to further their social standing. And they actually said to me, well, I go there because it's good. I can make a lot of business contacts. That is not the reason to go to church, to a church.
No.
The church should be one. Is it really a church or is it a corporation too? Is it an activist? Is it a live church? Are they doers of the word or not? Not to go there to make business contacts.
And, you go there for hope. You go there basically for hope, for faith, for salvation.
Well, and then you ask these guys why they attend Olstein's church, and they'll tell you they go there because that's where so many women, the young, pretty charismatic women are. That's not a good reason to go to a church, is it?
No, and that's not the kind of wife you want. That she's, her discernment's that bad that she's going there. She wouldn't make a good Christian wife, in my opinion.
So when it comes to Christians, is it basically symbolism over substance?
In their case, yeah, it's everything. It's a symbolism show, dog and pony show, really. I mean, he waves the Bible, but what did we say? And he bragged about in how many years he never preached about sin, which means he couldn't convict anybody. And you can't ask the Lord for salvation unless you know you're a sinner and need to repent and need forgiveness.
Absolutely. You know, Joe, when my wife and I, when we first got married, we were young. We had some very rough times financially. I had broken my back at one point, and she was pregnant at the time. And we had some tough times, but we had each other. And
yeah, like a story I can relate to. There were some pretty lean pickings at the time.
And so here, we didn't have much. But we were happy with what we had. We were happy because even on our worst day, Joe, even on our worst day, there was millions of people in this world that would trade places with us in a heartbeat.
And exactly. There are people that didn't have clean water to drink, didn't have a warm bed to sleep in, didn't have something to eat. You may not have been feasting, having a feast for dinner, but you had something to eat.
And so those people there today that have so little, these are the people that these prosperity preachers, they prey on. They're predators. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. And so we're going to play a little clip here, and then we'll pick up on it afterwards. So go ahead and play that clip.
In the 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel, Jesus tells the story of the rich fool. It's called a parable, but it doesn't fit the usual definition of a parable. Have you noticed that in parables, neither Jesus nor God appears themselves? There may be a shepherd or a king, a farmer or a businessman, each one of them representing God or Jesus, but in disguise. With a normal parable, you need an interpretation to get the spiritual lesson that Jesus was preaching. But in the story of the rich fool, God appears as himself, and the rich man's problems do not need to be interpreted. They're clearly stated. He's greedy. He's wasting his life working for more and more wealth, and God tells him so, in pretty blunt fashion, too. This story is one of the core teachings of Jesus, if not the core teaching. Jesus doesn't pull any punches when he shares this message. But, ironically, the message still gets distorted and buried, as I will explain in more detail later in this video. But first, I want to talk about what the parable does mean. Elsewhere on this channel, there's a video called 100% Absolute Proof for the Existence of God. It's one of my favorites. In that video, I state that the real issue is not about whether or not there is a God, because even the people who say there is a God live their lives as though he doesn't exist. And that's what the story of the rich fool shows us. He's nobody special. This rich man does and wants what virtually everyone in the world does and wants. He tries to get a little more wealth. In fact, it's quite likely that the rich fool does believe in God, you know, like church leaders and the members of their congregations do everywhere. They at least say that they believe God exists. But if God really does exist, and if we are one day going to be judged by him on how we have lived our lives here on earth, then it's extremely important, eternally important, to get it right about what he wants us to do with our lives and with our possessions. What I'm saying here and what Jesus has said is not about putting anyone down. It's not about me or Jesus being jealous of all the money that other people have. No, it's about a very sober, very serious, and very, very sad warning. A warning with eternal consequences. People everywhere are throwing away the greatest gift anyone could ever receive, the gift of life. God put you and me on this planet for the express purpose of teaching us to love him and to love others. That's the precise reason why you're alive and breathing at the moment. But what are we doing with this precious gift, with our lives? Time flows through our fingers like sand on the beach, and we waste most of it trying to get more and more wealth. That's what the rich fool did. Now I want you to listen to something. It's a very famous preacher boasting about how he spent $65 million of money that was donated to him by members of his congregation to buy a private airplane for himself. He's boasting that no one can stop him from using his position as a religious leader to get money to buy such a relatively useless piece of junk in a world where much of its population goes to bed hungry every night.
I can dream as long as I want to. I can believe God as long as I want to. If I want to believe God for a $65 million plane, you cannot stop me. You cannot stop me from dreaming.
This guy's name is Creflo Dollar. I'm not sure if that was his original name or if he had it changed, but that's what he's called today. Hopefully, what you've just seen here is shocking to you. But he's part of a fraternity of mega evangelists, all of whom are individually quite rich. Each of them is valued in the tens of millions of dollars. In one way or another, they have each used their positions as religious leaders to obtain tens and hundreds of millions of dollars for themselves and for their families. Am I jealous of Creflo Dollar's $65 million jet? Not at all. What would I do with such a toy? But for that matter, what does Creflo do with such a toy? You see, it's mainly just a status symbol in the totally senseless yet frantic rush to get something that everyone else in the rat race doesn't have. An attempt to make up for something far more important that is missing in their lives. The world's obsession with useless and extremely expensive pieces of junk continues to grow every day. And very few people ever stop and ask themselves, where is it all leading? Would Jesus wear a Rolex watch? Would Jesus drive a Mercedes? Would Jesus even fly first class? Would he stay in five-star hotels? Would he give two hoots about whether he has a designer label or not on his robe? So why do we, who profess to be following Jesus, why do we take even the slightest interest in such pointless status symbols? Most of us can see the poor Creflo Dollar is a sad symbol of a morally bankrupt society, a product of his own unbridled greed. A few of us can see that the rest of those multi-millionaires have missed something as well. But at the same time, we daydream about how nice it would be if we had just a little bit more, don't we? We certainly balk at Jesus telling us to let go of it all, even the necessities. And we especially balk when he suggests that our salvation is hanging in the balance if we don't believe him enough to obey such a command. In the story of the rich fool, the man's doing well. Business is booming. He has what the rest of us dream of having, which is always just a little bit more, whether your name is Creflo Dollar or just Joe Blow. But in the middle of his success, that's what we call it, isn't it? When someone gets the material wealth they've been looking for, we call it success. In the middle of the rich man's success, God speaks to him. You fool! God says, you are going to die. Death, the greatest certainty of life, the one thing we will all face at one time or another, death will mark the end of God's experiment. He'll collect our examination papers and study them to see if we did what he put us here to do. The car, the house, the job, the good reputation, the fame, the popularity, all of it will not amount to a thing 1 second after you breathe your last breath. God will not be impressed. You fools. Can't you see what a mockery of God it is for you to pretend that what Jesus came for was to make us rich? Jesus goes on, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Those are some of the saddest words in the Bible. Jesus asks you to let it all go now in obedience to him. For if you will show such faith in him, faith enough to forsake it all, not only will he meet your basic needs in this life, food and clothing, but he'll give you eternal life as well. Life in all its fullness. Life as God meant for it to be. But, like everything else that Jesus taught, the lesson that we should learn from the parable of the rich fool has been poisoned with lies for much of the history of the institutional church. What is taught in word and deed all over the world today and in virtually every denomination is the parable of the rich wise man. They see someone who is rich and they grovel at his feet, asking him to tell them how they can be rich too. Can you think of any big-name preacher in the last 100 years who did not live a lifestyle which was many times more luxurious than the average lifestyle on the planet? They have to be rich and to look rich in order for a godless world to chase after them. We in this evil and adulterous generation crave rich role models. We want our spiritual leaders to radiate success, and by that we mean material success. We praise such people as very wise men and women, gifted speakers, renowned orators, but only if they have shown through their lifestyle that they are rich. If Jesus turned up at any of our churches today, about the best he could hope for is that someone would feel sorry for him and give him a new robe. Even that little bit of sympathy would turn violent if he had the audacity to step onto the platform and address the people sitting on it. Brothers and sisters, he would say, as much as I hate to say it, you are all fools. You have each sold your souls for a popular gospel of your own creation. Tonight, your souls are going to be required of you. Inasmuch as you have kept all that wealth for yourself, you kept it from those, my brothers, who needed it the most. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Now that's what a truly wise man would say to all those rich preachers and to all those rich churches, including the poorer ones that want to be like the big ones, but they just don't have enough ambition to keep up with the rest. As I speak the words for this video, however, there are some brave individuals in various areas of the world today who are linking up with others in their country or in neighboring countries, others who have also stepped out by faith in obedience to Jesus, trusting their Heavenly Father for food, clothing, and shelter. It's a minuscule movement in the grand scheme of things, but I believe that these people are on the verge of changing the whole world. And they're going to do it through simple obedience to the teachings of Jesus. The world has gone on for far too long without anyone daring to challenge these most fundamental lies of the system. Without someone daring to trust the promises of Jesus, one of which he made in the Sermon on the Mount. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all your material needs will be taken care of. If you'd like to make contact with one or more of these people in your part of the world, someone who is living like this right now, if you would like to live a similar lifestyle, please write to me at the address shown on your screen. I look forward to hearing from you today. Don't be like the rich fool and wait until it's too late.
Back.
All righty, we are back. And Joe, let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to pick it up. I'm going to read verses 3 through 10, Joe. And then,
all right.
Okay. 3 through 10, and then we're going to read 17 through 19. But go ahead and read 3 through 10.
If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therefore therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
All right, so when we watch, when I look and I see these prosperity preachers out there, they're playing off the greed of people. But many times, Joe, what they do, they play also off the fact that many people are desperate. People are desperate. They have money problems. They're going to lose their home, and they have maybe just enough money to buy food. And these prosperity preachers will tell them, well, are you going to do it? That's your seed money. Where's your faith? You put it, you give it here to us. You send it here to us, and watch if God don't give it back to you running over.
Tenfold, yeah.
Tenfold. And what happens is so many of those people out of desperate, you know, they're desperate, and they do that, and they lose everything. And these prosperity preachers, so many times they've got caught. That one James, I'm trying to think of his, I can't remember his last name, but I remember he got caught up in a scam, and he was supposed to be raising money to give coats for the wintertime for homeless people and that, and it was just a total scam. He was selling everything. People would donate coats, and he would turn around and sell them. And so here now, these prosperity preachers are preaching, telling you that Jesus wants everybody to be rich. So where did Jesus say, place up your treasures? In Beverly Hills? Did he say...
No. A little farther away than Beverly Hills. I think it was all the way to heaven.
So he said, place up your treasures on heaven and not here on earth, right? Let me ask you this. Did he have... He came from heaven. And is there anything here on this earth that can match the mansions in heaven?
No, there's nothing in this world can match heaven.
Now, the question was asked here, would Jesus have a Rolex watch or would Jesus want a Rolls Royce? If he had wanted a Rolex watch even before they were invented, could he have had one?
Yes. He knew, well, he knew the end of creation before he began it, so anything he wants, he can create.
So if he had wanted a Rolls Royce, could he have something that's even much, much more greater than a Rolls Royce?
Yeah, he could, but it wouldn't do him much good in heaven because he can be everywhere in the universe at the same time. He does not need a Rolls Royce to get around anywhere. He's got the greatest transportation mode in the universe.
Well, here in verse 6 it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain.
Gain.
For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Listen, you know, there are many, many people that live their whole lives without ever having clean food, clean water, roof over their head. We've been blessed abundantly. I mean, everybody out there listening to me, some of them, because I get letters from a number of people, have lost their homes and they're living in trailers. Listen, do you know how many people in this world would give anything to have a trailer to live in?
Because they're a lot.
Yeah. And so
you look around the world, you see, well, when we were talking about those mines in South Africa where the children were mining for that rare earth minerals and mining and dying and working every day just to have something to eat. They were sleeping on the ground with a simple blanket and worked all day as children just to have enough to eat.
Yeah. Forget ever taking a nice hot shower.
Yeah.
Forget about having them taking a nice hot shower at the end of the day. And
yeah. Well,
and these are children. These are God's children. And yet you have these people. And I can tell you this, that I would not want to be one of these prosperity preachers. I would definitely not want to be one of these prosperity preachers. You know, you T.D. Jakes owns a $5.5 million mansion he lives in. What do you think the average cost of the house that those people that pay his bills and make him so rich, what do you think the average cost of their house is? Maybe $50,000?
Maybe 50,000, or maybe nowadays maybe a little more with inflation, but only because of the inflated values.
That Stephen Furtick lives in a 16,000 square feet mansion, but Olstein lives in a $10.5 million mansion. Jesse Duplantis, remember Jesse Duplantis? He's the guy that says that God calls on him for advice. He actually says that God calls on him for advice. And then you had Kenneth Copeland, he lives in a $7 million mansion. And so here, again, these people are living at a rate of between 100 and 300 times with a salary of the people that support them. Kind of reminds me of Reverend Ike. Remember Reverend Ike?
Mm-hmm. I sure do.
Remember Reverend used to say, when they took up an offering, he'd take the offering, he'd take it until the plate was filled. If they had to send it back, they had to send it back. And then he would say, we're going to throw it up in the air. Whatever stays up there belongs to God. Whatever comes down belongs to me. We'll be back right after this.
For him to sleep or slumber.
Alrighty, we're back. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith They've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, here's what Paul says to the rich men. Verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Boy, you listen to Creflo Dollar. You listen to Kenneth Copeland. You listen to T.D. Jakes. You talk about high-minded. Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly in all things to enjoy, that they do good and that they be, excuse me, they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willingly to communicate. Joe, that word there, communicate, in the Greek means to share, to give and share.
Sure.
Laying up, let me ask you this. How much of that wealth, I mean, Kenneth Copeland said he's worth $2 billion now. How much of that do you think he's sharing with the people that helped him become so rich?
From what I can see, he's not sharing. I can't see the fruit of his ministry as far as anything he's doing outside of for himself. I can find nothing.
There was a big scandal here a year or two ago, a couple of years ago, where there was flooding, a lot of flooding there. I believe it's Texas, where Joe Osteen's church was. And they had, there were homeless people, and they needed, they needed help. They needed money, they needed clothes, and they needed a place to go. And he closed the church down and wouldn't give it to them. They had all those millions and millions of dollars there.
And all that room that he could have housed so many people, the bathrooms and facilities were all there.
And it wasn't until the word got out what was happening that then he decided to open it up and let them in.
Yeah, well, so, the bad press got him. Well, for years we have said something, you know, a lot of people believe in God. But a true Christian, a true believer, believes him. In other words, believes everything that he said. Not just the devil. You know, you can believe in anything, but to believe God is all. And I was just going to remind you, we had a prayer request we need to get to.
That's absolutely right. And we have a young lady tonight. His name is Claire. And Claire is with Child, and I think she's fairly far along, and they can't find a heartbeat, and this is not good. And so I would ask you folks out there to join me wherever you're at out there. God will answer. God answers prayer. And so, folks, join with me and just agree with me in this prayer for Claire. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I don't know Claire, but I do know that she's so concerned about her baby. She's so concerned about that child in her. And so, Lord, we know that, Father God, that you love the children, and you know that child, you placed it within her. So, Father God, we just would ask that you would intercede on this behalf, Lord. If it be thy perfect will, we know your will is always for life. Always choose life. We would ask, Lord God, that you would intervene on this. We know, Lord, all you have to do is say, let there be a heartbeat. And so we pray, Father God, Lord, that you would intercede and that she would give birth to a very well and healthy baby at this time, and you would be a comfort to her too. And Lord, at the same time, her father asked if we would pray for him because he's involved in some kind of litigation, and he has to go into court in the morning. And so we want to pray the very same thing for him, Lord, for Mac, that your perfect will would be done, that your perfect will would be done in Mac's situation in that courtroom. These things we ask now in the name of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All righty, Joe, we have a lot of stuff to get to tonight, so we better just go out and get to it, huh? And so,
well, the elephant in the room is Matt Gaetz and the eight House Republicans that ousted McCarthy. That's
even
the big story.
Even before we go there, there's some very, very good news here in Ohio. Now, you know that in Ohio, we're one of the leading state in child trafficking, child sex trafficking. Well,
and nothing to brag about, right?
Well, there is something to brag about. Today, there was a major, major bust when sting operations went down. Over 100 children were recovered, and 160 of those pedophiles were arrested. So,
wow, 160 of them. Thank you, Jesus.
That's 160 that won't be voting in November's election.
Yeah.
Anyhow. And so, for Joe Biden. But anyhow, so that's very, very good news. Now let's go back to Matt Gaetz. I know Matt Gaetz was one. This was a really dumb thing and not at a good time to do what they did. Those 8 Republicans joined with the Democrats. Let me ask you this, Joe. What does the Bible say? How much fellowship can light have with darkness?
None.
Okay. So how much fellowship does Christ have with Belial?
None.
So here, the Bible says, here you have these 8. 8. Now, that means that out of these 8, you had approximately, well, that was, these 8 Democrats were only 4% of the Republican, or 8 Republicans were only 4% of the Republican Congress. They were 4%. The 8 joined with the Democrats to remove McCarthy. This was not a good time to do that at all. This was one of the worst times you could do that. So what are you going to have now? You're going to have total chaos, aren't you?
Well, maybe. Something came up there just a little while ago on Fox News, Brandon Gillespie. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, Republican there in Louisiana, is seeking support to replace Kevin McCarthy. And he has been making calls behind the scenes to shore up support for a possible vote Wednesday to select the next speaker. Matt Gaetz has called him a phenomenal speaker. He would be, he said, he would be, Scalise would be a phenomenal speaker. And I'm kind of thinking that the people that were there with Gaetz, Andy Biggs of Arizona, Ken Buck, Colorado, Tim Burchett, Tennessee, Eli Crane, Arizona, Matt, of course, Matt Gaetz of Florida, Bob Good of Virginia, Nancy Mace, South Carolina, Matt Rosendale of Montana. I have a feeling these people have been wanting to put Steve Scalise in as speaker for a long time, that this has been going on a lot longer than we're aware of.
Oh, yeah, it has been. Well, yeah, we know that for a fact.
If Scalise can get the votes together and be elected, the temporary Patrick McHenry was appointed speaker pro tem here, but he was also the one Kevin McCarthy had put on a list that he had of replacements, if anything, of people to succeed him should the office be vacated, as, of course, it was with his removal. So I'm thinking this was kind of a coup by some of the real hardline Republicans that want to really go to war and fight. So there may be a lot more to this story than we're aware of.
Well, there is another strange twist to this story, because there are a number of very, very conservative mega that would actually like to have Donald Trump to be the speaker, to elect him. Now, you don't have to be a member of the Congress to be elected Speaker of the House.
That's right. Most people, I don't think, are aware of that. So Donald Trump could be elected Speaker. But
now, could you imagine this? Imagine this. Remember how Nancy Pelosi stood behind Trump and tore up his speech?
Yeah.
Can you imagine Trump standing behind Joe Obama, Biden, and Terry? Standing up and tearing up. I'm going to tell you, even the Democrats would applaud that, I think. Okay. Can you imagine that? Now, here's the other thing.
Well, there's no. He can't read from the script anyway, so there's no sense tearing it up, because he always can't stay on script, can't even read a teleprompter.
Well, but here's the other thing. There's already a lot of talk amongst the Democrats of invoking the 25th Amendment to remove Joe. Now, for being mentally incompetent. Now,
or
do you think it? Yeah, well, that would lead the next to Kamala Harris. Do you think there's enough evidence out there of declaring her mentally incompetent? The Democrats themselves are scared to death to have her in there. They don't know what she's liable to do. And
I don't know if they could get her for being mentally incompetent, but she's certainly way out of her league. I think there's some high school valedictorians that could come in and do a better job than Kamala Harris is doing as vice president. But I don't know if you could call that mentally incompetent. She's incompetent, yes.
Have you ever heard...
She was smart enough to pass a bar exam, so I don't know.
Have you ever heard her yell... Well, you know, we both know how she got where she's at. But have you ever heard her yellow school bus speech?
I think I vaguely remember it. It was pretty pathetic.
I remember it. It wasn't hard to memorize. It goes something like, a yellow school bus. A yellow school bus. A yellow school bus. Everyone loves a
yellow
school
bus. School
bus. That's deep. That's really deep.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Very, very deep.
Anyhow, Elon Musk now says that he confirms that firing of half of the election integrity team at X, which used to be Twitter. These guys were all involved in the Russia scam, and he looked into what they did in the record, and he fired them, including the guys who were in charge of integrity. Guess what? He couldn't find any integrity in those people. Does that surprise you?
The election integrity group, yeah. Well, there wasn't.
And so
they were hirelings bought and paid for whores.
Yeah, that's exactly. They've gone a whoring. And then here, one of those, that woman that I think you mentioned, one of the eight, was her name Nancy Mace?
Yep, Nancy Mace.
Nancy Mace. Well, she's kind of a fiery little female, and she said last Thursday, in fact, she suggested that Joe Biden be, that Joe Biden has committed high treason when he took bribes from the McCullough, Zelensky, and the oligarchs, and that owns the Ukraine and gets company Burisma Holdings, okay? And so the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability held its first hearing on the impeachment of Joe Biden on Thursday, and the three witnesses testifying are Ruth Dubinsky, founder of Dubinsky Counseling, forensic accountant. Elaine O'Connor, former Assistant Attorney General, Department of Justice and Tax Division. And Jonathan Turley, Shapiro Chair for the Public Interest. You know, I was listening to Turley, and Turley's not even a conservative, but he was saying...
No, not at all, but he's an honest man.
And he is saying that this is absolute insanity, what they're doing. That this is communism. It's pure communism. Now, I don't think, Trump, in my opinion, is he's rope-a-doping. He's doing the rope-a-dope. He's roping that corrupt judge, that Arthur Engoron. I mean, he's finished. I mean, his reputation... Now that everybody knows about that man's a complete fool, Joe. He's a complete fool, and he's corrupt as the day is long. He even come right out and admitted to being corrupt. And he sits there and he makes a mockery and acts and plays the part of a fool on the bench. And so now he's trying to put a gag order on President Trump. I think Trump knows exactly what he's doing here with this, and we'll see how this is working out. But I can see that all of these things are going down one at a time. All of these indictments that they have against Trump, and when you bring it up to the appellate courts, Trump's lawyers don't seem to be very worried, do they?
They're a little angry, but they know it's going to be overturned. I mean, the case, the judge has made sure that everything he's doing, that this whole case is going to be overturned, but it's a dog and pony show to do as much damage up front as possible.
Okay, so if you're a judge and you've got any kind of integrity at all, and you see when this judge, this Engren, has said from the very before there was a trial, when he found Trump guilty before there was a trial, and here, you know, you had that so-called prosecutor, James, where she ran for office on a platform that she was going to get Donald Trump someday. Now, if you have got any integrity, I mean, just even the littlest bit of integrity, you would demand that these people recuse themselves, that they step down. And the very same thing with that Chunkin there and that Jack Smith. I mean, now, when it gets to the higher courts, do you think we're going to have enough integrity that they're going to say, you people need to, you need to be ashamed of yourself. You need to disqualify yourself. And if it gets to the Supreme Court, what do you think will happen?
I don't think it'll ever get that far. I think that any of the appeals courts are going to shut it down. I don't think it'll ever go past one or two appeals.
Well, we'll see what happens. But I know Trump is using this to his advantage. I mean, daily, his popularity is growing daily. And there are people that wouldn't maybe not have voted for him, but they will now because they don't like the way that he's being treated. And all of the stuff that came out, how the Russia hoax was a total hoax, how you had those 51, dirty cops, those 51 dirty cops, intelligence agency, lied in knowing that. They signed their name knowing they were lying. How corrupt is that? That should be prison time for them. It's really unbelievable. But
well, we did the story a while back. It wasn't that long ago that several people, Peter Schweitzer, had looked up, and we read the definition of bribery, and you don't have to take anything yourself. You can commit the crime of bribery if, if I do something and you get the money, I've still committed bribery because I've given it to a family member, a close friend in this case, you know, where we work together. It's still, Biden's committed bribery, even if he didn't take any of it personally, as long as members of his family benefited, he's still guilty. So we already know that family members have received, you know, millions of dollars from Hunter through the various bank accounts and companies. So there's enough already to impeach Joe Biden of corruption and bribery.
There is. The problem of it is we don't have a Justice Department, do we?
Well, we don't, and I can see what the Republicans are doing. They want to get this so airtight that even the Louisville press and the Democrats can't deny that he's guilty. They're going to just keep going, overturning one rock after another until it is so terribly obvious.
When Soros puts the word out, throw Biden under the bus, how fast will they turn on him? They'll turn on him so quick. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. A whole lot more to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.